You ready?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Live from Beer Bottle QB's headquarters, this is Channel 7 News. Hey guys, this is CJ North coming to you with a breaking news story. We're going to go live to Blake Beckelman, who's on the scene. Blake, what's going on out there?
Hey CJ, it's great to call you in. It's nuts out here. We're in Bristol, Connecticut. Sam Ponder has just castrated ESPN. It's absolutely insane. Lord. I can see ESPN's balls right here. We got every major newsbreaker. We got Fox News. We got CNN. We got fucking Tucker Carlson in the morning. Everybody's here right now. It's crazy out here.
Fucking Tucker's there?
Fucking Tucker's there. All right, man. Yeah, it's wild out here. It's just nuts.
Wow. Well, stay safe and keep your balls out of Sam Ponder's way.
Heard that, CJ. I'm staying clear. All right, and that was our official breaking news from Bristol that ESPN has officially been castrated by Sam Ponder.
They have. It's embarrassing. They continue to surprise everyone. I mean, their latest stunt is just is insane.
Putting a show on for one episode. We all know we're talking about Barstool Van Talk. Putting it on for one episode and then deciding to cut it after one episode because of political reasons is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. And I mean, that's why ESPN's in the trash. Their content's in the trash. Like, more reason to listen to Beer Bottle QPs, that's for sure.
Literally, they cut one of the most popular people in sports TV show after one episode.
Yeah, and they had like it was the 1 a.m.
ratings or not?
They had 88,000 live and then like 100,000 or something after like the app watches or whatever. I don't know how the Nielsen's ratings work anymore with Hulu and all that bullshit. But dude, it's nuts. I mean, there's not two hotter names besides BidCat and PFT, and they just literally cut them loose because Sam Ponder said so, essentially. At least we know who's running ESPN now. It's certainly not the executives. It's certainly not the president. It's the mid-tier talent. So, I mean, it's absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd.
It's gone off the rails at this point. It's over the top. You can't please everyone. They're trying to please every single person out there, and that's impossible. Be a sports website.
I know.
Be a sports TV show. Do sports. That's what you do. Don't get political. Stay out of it.
It's ESPN's new slogan, political over sports. But actually, no. Political... Space, sports, and tiny leverage. We still cover sports in, like, fine print at the bottom. Absurd. But, hey, it's another wide-open canvas for the Beer Bottle QBs. Everyone needs to come listen. We're going to have a couple of great episodes coming this week. We've got one dropping tomorrow or Wednesday, and then another one right before this weekend's games.
Yeah, it's going to be great, man. It's really looking forward to this week. We've got some pretty funny stuff and some predictions and betting lines set up for everyone. So it should be a great week.
Oh, it's going to be winners all around. All right. Well, that was our public service announcement. Everyone go follow the Twitter, Instagram. Don't have a Facebook. And soon this week, we're coming out with the blog. That'll be sometime this weekend with our first ever Beer Bottle QB's blog post. So...
Yep, it'll be live and in your face.
Love it. Now let's roll into our first segment of the day, marquee matchups. Another fan.
Ooh, Blake, got some good ones.
Great ones this weekend. Great ones. Who do you got? Who's your first marquee matchup, Siege?
My first one, the old 11 a.m. game, Oklahoma State, number 11, versus West Virginia, number 22. Big game for both programs.
That's a
really,
good one.
Really big game for the Big 12 race, actually. I mean, huge game.
Agreed. Ginormous game. A lot of implications. It's going to be a shootout, but the loser of this is, for all intents and purposes, is out of the Big 12 race. If a two-loss team, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a two-loss team in the title game. It seems like it'll be an undefeated and a one-loss or two one-loss teams. I don't think – and so unless somehow – if there's a two-loss team, then there's going to be a crazy three-way tie on how they get in, and that'll be a whole mess like 2009 in the Big 12. So let's hope they have the fucking rules ironed out beforehand.
Seriously, so they're not going to this back and forth. Well, we beat them, but they beat us, but they beat this team. I mean, that shit – that'll just get ridiculous. Hopefully –
By now the Big 12 has to have some sort of way they can you know, figure out who's going to play in a championship game if there is, you know, all these crazy one-loss teams. But I think West Virginia can really pull this one off. I mean, Oklahoma State looked terrible against Texas. Basically, Texas and TCU have written the blueprint on how to stop Oklahoma State. Really, TCU started it, and then Texas took it to another level on how to stop them. So, I mean, look for West Virginia to play similar to TCU and Texas on the D side of the ball. But I'm not sure if West Virginia has the personnel to be able to stop them.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. West Virginia's defense is always good. They play good man coverage. They blitz a lot. I think I see Oklahoma State pulling this one out on the road. West Virginia's defense didn't look so hot at the end of the Baylor game, and so I think I'm going Oklahoma State. I think they pull it out, nudge it out, and stay in the race.
I like it.
All right.
All right, Blake. Let's go to your next matchup. Who you got?
I'm just going to go with the blanket one that everyone's going to be talking about, Penn State, Ohio State. 2-9. Oh, wait, no. Ohio State's actually at 6, but they should be 9-10-11, some of that bullshit. But yeah, what do you think about it, Siege? I think it's the marquee matchup.
It's definitely the marquee matchup of the week. There's no doubting that. It's huge game for the Big Ten, huge game for the playoff. I like Penn State because I still don't think Ohio State is close to the number 6 team. I think they should be more around the 12-13 range.
Can I get a heard of that?
I think Penn State goes in and honestly, I think they kicked their ass.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's another shitty fucking football game out of the Big Ten. I think Penn State separates themselves in this one. I'm not high on Penn State. Still don't like them. Hate that the Big Ten gets so much pub, but I think they beat Ohio State pretty easily. After what they did to Michigan, Ohio State's gotten a lot better on offense. JT Barrett finally looks like he is not a JV quarterback again. I think Penn State's rolling. They're hot. Ohio State's not that good. They take it. They stay number 2 in the AP polls.
Yeah, I agree. I think Penn State, like you said, they just separate themselves in the Big Ten race. I think Penn State, after this game, they're going to be the clear number 2 team. They're going to cruise. They're going to kick Wisconsin's ass in the Big Ten championship game. I think after this game, Penn State's almost going to be a lock for the playoff. As terrible as that sounds, I just don't like that at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. All right, let's roll on. So what's your next big game, CJ? What are you watching this
weekend? Oh, baby. It's going to be the game that I'm going to have my eyes glued on. As you know, we're TCU fans. I've got the number four TCU Horned Frogs playing at a very good, very well-coached number 25 Iowa State. Surprise program of the year for me. What do you think about this one, Blake?
It's going to be a wild one. Their fans are going to be nuts. I mean, last time we were there as a top 5 team, we stumbled a little bit. We ended up pulling it off at the end. But, I mean, it was a good game, gritty. I mean, they play well, and they play really well at home. So I think it's going to be a close one. I mean, much closer than whatever the spread is. I think Iowa State gives us a good one. I think we can pull it out at the win, but we can't turn the ball over. You can't make mistakes. And we can't let them throw for 400 fucking yards on us at home.
If they throw
for 400 yards at home, I say they win this ball game. I don't think they're going to do it. I think the defense shows up to play. I mean, I'm obviously picking TCU in this one. We're the most biased podcasters about the Frogs, so it's a pretty easy one for us.
Yeah, pretty easy. I'm going TCU, but this is the first time Iowa State has been ranked since 2005, so you know Ames is going to be rocking. Like you said, man, if they start slinging the ball all over the field like they have been, it's going to be pretty tough for TCU to keep up with that because they do play solid defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for someone who's been to Iowa State and been involved in that crowd, heard it first. I mean, it gets loud, and they are packed, and they stay till the end, even if they're losing by 30 points. I remember we were beating them. This was the Loser Bowl. We were both fighting for the bottom of the Big 12 that year, but they were there from start. They were packed early, and they stayed through finish. It was nuts. I have never seen anything like it. A team getting their ass beat, and one of the worst teams in the conference with fans that are there the entire time. Like we've talked about a little earlier, Texas fans, TCU fans, Tech fans, OU fans, every fan in the Big Basin, the Big 12, can learn a lot from Iowa State fans because they're the realest fans in the bunch, including they TCU are. Fans. They make TCU fans look like little pussy-ass bitch fans.
They really – I mean, it's sad. TCU is down by 10 and people are leaving. Iowa State fans are – I mean, they're bad every single year, and they're, it's a packed house for every game. But this year they're good. I'm nervous. It's going to be a hell of a place to play. It's going to be a hell of a game. Iowa State's going to come out – I think they're going to come out hot. It's just hopefully TCU can weather the storm in the first quarter and then start rolling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, trick play out the gate without a doubt. Almost 100% certainty. Or just a vertical to Lazard. One of those two things is happening.
Ooh, I'm scared for him because he is a big 6'5", and our corners run about 5'11", and about 5'10". So,
yeah, he's a big guy.
A little nervous on those. But I like our safeties over the top to help. So, we'll see.
All right, let's roll on to our next game. I think this is another pretty obvious one. Maybe not from the ESPN crowd. You won't hear it as so obvious, but NC State at Notre Dame.
Let's go, Wolfpack.
Huge game. I think people on this podcast already know where we stand on this one, but I think we're justified. NC State probably going to be underdog by 14 points going into Notre Dame, especially after what happened last week to USC, and I think that's a huge fucking mistake. We'll see if Clay has it on his picks later as one of his locks of the week, but I think NC State is going to come and take it to Notre Dame. Smash mouth football. These are two smash mouth teams. One can clearly throw the ball a lot better than the other. That one is NC State, not Notre Dame. I think this is a breakout game for NC State and puts them in the contender talk.
We know. Everybody knows the Wolfpack's for real this year, baby.
Yeah, you called it first.
They're good. They are good.
You called it first. I made a wrong pick with Louisville earlier. I'm not going against the Wolfpack. That. In a big time game, baby. Again. Not happening. I think
you can't. You can't go against them.
This is what they call a program.
The way they're playing,
this is a win that can make your program. I mean, NC State is hot. They're playing well. I mean, they've beat everyone by 14 points at least, almost. I mean, a couple close games here and there. They've got Notre Dame. They've got Clemson back to back. So we'll see if they're legit. If they win this game and come off that going into Clemson, that is going to be a crazy primetime game, and I'm pumped for it.
Crazy game. Well, I'm looking at this. I like NC State a lot in this game. I mean, I'm looking – here's a little bit of stats. Notre Dame averages 317 on the ground, which is very good. Oh, however, the Wolfpack only allowed 91 yards a game on the ground. Very good rush defense versus a very good rush offense. I like NC State because Notre Dame cannot throw the football.
Heard that. All right, so let's hear. You got any more games?
I do, Blake.
All right,
I do. It's kind of a little bit of a more quiet game, I would say. It's not getting the press and the love that all the other games that we about are getting, but I do think it's a really, really big game for these two programs, and I think it is the Texas A&M versus Mississippi State. It's in College Station. I think this is, if Texas A&M wins this game, I believe Kevin Sumlin will be safe for another year because they will be ranked after this game. They lose this game to Mississippi State. I think that seat starts feeling a little bit hot under Kevin Sumlin. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think the seat is quite – I don't think it's burning hot yet after that they lose this game, but I think it's getting steamy, and I think you're starting – it's like you're in a sauna. It's starting to get a little too hot, like you want to get out, but you're not quite there yet. You think you still got 15 minutes in you. But I'm with you. I think it's a big right. – It's really a defining moment in Kevin Sumlin's career at A&M because if he can't win this game, then I agree. I think he's out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not getting that much praise because Mississippi State's kind of falling off, but it's a big game for the Aggies, and it's a huge game for Kevin Sumlin. This is almost a must-win for him to, you know, to really stave off the rest of the hot seat talk.
To stave off Chad Morris, who is just right there. Yeah. Right there, stoking the fire. All right, but I got one more game, and it's on the similar lines with this. I think this might be the game that loses Butch Jones his job. Tennessee at Kentucky. If Kentucky wins this game, I think Butch Jones is out of a job Monday morning.
Oh, I agree completely with that. I think fire him. They might even fire him before the plane ride home if they lose to Kentucky.
That's very possible. It's an away game, I get that. But Kentucky just got smoked by some crappy SEC. They got smoked by Mississippi State, who's looked average at best. I think this is a absolute must win for Butch Jones. If he can't make it out of Lexington, he's done. It's over.
He's done. They're gonna kiffin him and fire him on the tarmac.
It's over. All right, I think that's about it for marquee matchups. I think it's about time to run to another favorite segment. Upset alert. What upset? What's your number one upset of the weekend, CJ?
First, I want to hit on our podcast has been spot on some of these upsets, man. We've called Iowa State. We've called NC State. We've called a ton of upsets. So pay attention, boys and girls.
I agree. Right. We're hitting them. We just call it how it is. We see things better than the fucking dumbass people on ESPN. So, all right, who you got? Who's your number one?
All right, my number one, who I am going to put on upset alert, it would be a huge upset, but I'm putting Notre Dame on there. We talked about NC State versus Notre Dame. It wouldn't be that crazy of an upset, but put Notre Dame on upset alert. I think NC State takes this one.
There you go. Hey, I'm agreed. We covered it before. We talked about NC State. I'm total agreement on that one. My upset alert. We're going to the American. This is a team that we
have. I know what you're picking. I know what you're picking.
I haven't picked them to win a big game yet, but I think this is the one they get. I think Houston at USF, upset alert USF. I think Houston goes in and wins a big one after a huge comeback loss to Memphis. I think this is the one they get.
You heard it here. Charlie Strong takes his first L of the season. I love it.
First L since he was in Austin, baby.
All right. I mean, I got one more.
Let's hear it.
One more. And it pains me to say, but you got to put the Washington State Cougs on upset alert with Arizona. Arizona's been playing some good football recently.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Playing some good football recently. So I'm putting on – it's a night game in the Pac-12. Arizona is going to be crazy. It's going to be pumping.
They're playing at Washington State, though. They're playing at home, buddy. Yeah, Washington State playing at home. You think Arizona?
It's at Arizona.
No, I'm looking at it right now. It says I'm on the Arizona page. It says versus Washington State.
Yeah, it'd say at Washington State if it was there.
Oh, shit. I thought I was on the Washington State page. Oh, well.
Oh, no problem. Right. Yeah, that's why I got them. Arizona's quietly at 5-2. Pull a big upset against Washington State. I sure as hell hope not,
because Mike Leach, the ultimate coach, making his guys do fucking up downs on the sideline up 21-0, that Mike Leach is going to be out. And I think they win an away game this one. I don't think they have another Cal. I'm on the Washington State train. I just don't want them to go down. I don't think they will. Not today.
I like it.
All right. Well, now we're gonna have our friend, good friend, Pete Witt on to discuss some Nebraska football. Is it dead yet?
It is dead.
Let's roll into it. We got our good buddy Pete Witt here, resident Nebraska football expert, born and raised Omaha, Nebraska. Say hi to all the listeners, Pete.
What's up, everybody? Go Big Red.
Go Big Red. All right, so we have you on to discuss today. Is Nebraska football dead? Your thoughts, Pete.
I don't think it's quite dead. I think that it's going down potentially the road of Minnesota. If you're familiar with Minnesota, they actually have like 5 national titles, and then they had like 2 bad decades in a row, and it kind of just died.
I'm actually unfamiliar with this. Kind of, so you see yourself going down that path.
Minnesota actually... Well, no, I see that as kind of the scenario that a lot of people are worried about, which is kind of why you see the fan base turning on Mike Riley as quickly as they have, because there's just so much worry that it just keeps getting worse and worse. And if eventually nothing happens, then you're going to go down that path where a once-proud program kind of fades into nothingness.
I mean, what do you think about recruiting? It doesn't seem like Nebraska has been getting the blue chip recruits that they used to be shoo-ins for in the past. But is that Mike Riley? Is that AD? Is that just the changing of the times? Like, what do you think that is?
Well, they've actually recruited better under Mike Riley than they have under their previous coach. They've been in on some players. They've got some good guys. They have a pretty talented class right now. If they fire Riley, that will all implode. They've been stockpiling talent. The problem is they're just not playing like been rated as players coming out of high school. They had actually 2 pretty solid classes the last 2 years, but it just hasn't translated to the field. So the big question is that coaching development, or were these guys just overrated coming out of high school? I don't know, but you have to realize that Nebraska is at a huge recruiting disadvantage, just being in a low population state, far away from all the population centers. So you really have to recruit guys that want to be there. You have to find local kids that are, you know, kind of diamonds in the rough to be on your line. Wisconsin's very good at doing that.
Whoa. Are you saying
that...
For
whatever reason, they just haven't been able to.
Whoa. Pete, are you saying that Omaha and Lincoln... And you're even close to Detroit. You're saying those aren't big football recruiting areas?
Not at all, dude. No.
It's not the hotbed?
Not hotbed.
Oh, man, that's disappointing.
Definitely not.
All right, well, my big question is...
Yeah, who would have thought?
Nebraska hasn't won since they ran the triple option. So do you think that Nebraska should go back to the triple option?
Not quite the triple option. So one of the big rumors right now is that they're going to fire Mike Riley and bring in Scott Frost. I don't know if you're familiar with Scott Frost.
Oh, we covered him on the episode that dropped yesterday.
I have not listened to it yet. It's in my queue. But you probably know he was a national championship winning quarterback at Nebraska.
He was.
The triple option. So, you know, then he spent time at Oregon as their offensive coordinator, and now he's down at BCF for a train. So a lot of people think that he's going to come back and run a version of kind of the modernized Nebraska option with some, you know, flares of Oregon and UCF mixed in.
My question for you is, Scott Frost is the hot new hire. I get it. But who would be a more perfect candidate than Mike Leach? I don't think he'd ever take it, but I mean, he's good at changing the tide. He's a wild card. It says whatever the fuck he wants. I mean, you need a change. Why not just go with the wacky pirate guy?
Yeah, and he can recruit anywhere. He's recruited at Tech and recruited at Washington State. I mean, those are 2, I wouldn't say, hotbeds of college football at all.
I might be on the minority of Nebraska fans that actually really, really like Leach. I love Leach. I think he's dope. He's just, I don't think he would fit in the fishbowl that is Lincoln. I think his antics would get tired with a lot of the older fan base. Just culturally, I don't know if he'd be a great fit, but I love him. I think he's great.
You don't think Mike Leach would fit in with all the Farmers Only crowd in Lincoln?
No, man. Surprisingly, I don't think he would.
All right,
but, you know,
so...
I mean, I think he's good, but, you know, I just don't see it as a good cultural fit. And I think he kind of thrives in those less traditional programs where he doesn't have quite the expectations and quite the media breathing down his neck at every word he speaks and move he makes.
Hey, there you go. I mean, you still listening to all the press conferences after the game, Pete?
I am. I after the games, I get online and go to the the local media side, listen to the coaches' conference and everything, and I'm dialed in, bro.
I'm glad.
Hey, Pete, I got a question for you. It's a little conspiracy theory I got. So Nebraska, big farming state, a lot of corn grown, correct?
Sure.
So we've seen all these things with the company Monsanto. Does Monsanto's poisoned crops, does that cause Nebraska football players to not get as strong and be slower than the rest of the country? Your thoughts?
I am of the belief that there is tampering, that Monsanto and these dirty big corporations are poisoning our crops. They're forcing the players in states like Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas to suck first. I mean, it's just, you can see it in the result. That.
So we can use this as a headline grab. You are in fact saying that Monsanto is brought down the demise of Nebraska football.
Yes, and I can say that with facts behind it.
I love it. I agree.
My only other thought would be that maybe Nebraska's football team is tanking so they can try to steal the Iowa caucus and be first, you know, in the presidential primaries.
Hey, I don't see why that wouldn't be a fact. I mean, everyone wants to vote first.
That's true. I mean, I've heard that's how they decide who gets it first, who had the worst football team in 1932 or whatever. So they're coming
that's
back
into
every 80 years or some odd. They repick the state based on worst college football team. So just a theory floating out there that they're tanking for it. You know, you never know.
Maybe Nebraska's not good anymore because all their players stopped taking steroids. What do you think?
That could definitely be true. They also stopped signing players that beat their girlfriends and then kill themselves in prison. So those two combined have really been difficult on the program.
Moral standards.
It's tough to stop.
Moral standards are something that can be detrimental to a football program. Just look at Baylor.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The price you pay for success.
And then our final question is, does Eric Crouch have any eligibility left?
Eric Crouch is a playground equipment salesman in the Omaha metro area. He definitely has eligibility left to play on the playground, not on the football field.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
That's a crushing blow to the program.
A 40-year-old Eric Crouch with a year of eligibility would have been incredible.
You know, I mean, we could choose him. That's definitely true. But no, not coming back.
Does he have any knees left? Or did they just kind of like fuse his legs together so he can't move his legs?
I think you're right. He has like one of those like centaur type bodies now. They put his two front legs together and built him a back leg so he walks around kind of like a centaur.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right, Pete. This has been a fiery interview. Love every second of it. You got any final comments for the viewers? You have the next minute to say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, I just want to say that Nebraska is going to be back. We're going to be kicking ass, taking names. We're going to fuck on the Big Ten. You just got to wait for it. It's coming. The train's coming.
I love the confidence. Well, I think that's a wrap for this. We're now going to roll to another phenomenal segment. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back again with Ramblin', Stamblin', Clay Beltran. Locks of the week. Let's hear it, Clay.
All right, well, we're back again. Boy, just another week trying to get some money. You know, all TCU fans here, we all know how Kansas played last week. They looked terrible.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Total yards.
Absolutely. 29
total yards.
So, yeah, you know what? Well, they're not even going to have that many yards. They're playing at home this week against Kansas State. It's kind of an in-state rivalry, but not much of a rivalry.
No,
after what I saw last week, I don't know how anyone could bet on Kansas. So I'm going Kansas State -23.5. What do you guys think about that? Love it.
Kansas might be the worst Division I football team of all time, so I love it.
Got shut out two games in a row, 45-0, 43-0.
I don't usually call 23-point spreads locks, but for this one, I think it's safe to put it in the books, K-State. Love the pick. All right, let's roll into pick number two.
Put it in. Lock it in.
Okay, well, we got a couple of home dogs barking this week, Blake. Ooh. First one, I like A&M +2 at home against Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
I love that. A&M's significantly better than Mississippi State.
Home dogs. Yeah,
and the public is, you know, everyone's kind of, I don't know how Mississippi State's favored, but, you know, I like A&M at home. You got to go with a home dog. I mean, especially 2 points. I like A&M. I think they come out and someone gets the dub.
That's a hell of a point spread for the 12th man. I mean, love the pick. That sounds like money, Clay. I think that sounds like money. All right, pick number three.
I can already hear the money machine.
Woo, just printing it over here. Pick number three, what we got?
Okay, got to go another home dog, West Virginia, 7.5 at home against Oklahoma State.
Love it.
I mean, Texas isn't that great, and Oklahoma State was struggling moving the ball. I mean, like, both those teams last week, Texas and OSU, like, they couldn't get anything going. That was like watching a snail move. Jeez.
I like
West Virginia at home. I mean, I think they give Oklahoma State a run for their money. They may not win the game, but they'll keep it close. You know, it's hard to play there in Morgantown.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be I firmly believe they're going to be singing West Virginia at the end of that game. Burning some couches, having it all happen. Back country roads, baby.
Give me a couch fire.
Country roads. All right.
Let's get that money. That's a lot.
John Denver is going to be happy.
All right, so we got three big winners in the books. What's pick number four?
All right, guys, I'm struggling this one. I mean, I have to bet this game. I just don't know which way to go. I need your guys' help on this one.
Oh, let's hear it.
All right, Ohio State and Penn State. Ohio State's favorite 6.5 at home.
Hammer that.
Number two team in the nation. Is that right?
I think this is an easy call.
Right.
Penn State all the way.
I mean, I want to lean Penn State. Is Ohio State really favored by a touchdown?
Yeah, I think it's fake news. I think the gamblers have it wrong. The media has it wrong. I think Penn State rolls with this one. I think Ohio State fucking sucks.
Dude, I mean, Saquon Barkley, the dude is just an absolute monster. Like, any position on the field he can play and he'll just dominate.
Ohio State got smoked by OU at home, and Penn State's a better team than Oklahoma. That's a quiet line.
I feel like this is one of those like trap games where Ohio State just goes out and whoops ass, and then everyone's going to be sucking their dick, and next thing you know, like they'll be on their way into the college football playoff, and everyone's just going to be hating themselves.
That's why it's up to Penn State right now to stop the bullshit. If Penn State has any balls on their football team, they'll beat Ohio State this week and shut everyone the fuck up.
All right, let's do it, Blake. Let's take Penn State +6.5.
Woo! There we go.
Love it.
I'll put it in right now.
All right. So now that we have four fucking cash money winners, put a grand apiece on them, get the big money. Clay, what's your number five lock of the motherfucking week?
All right, my fifth lock of the week. Oh my God, they looked pretty good, and it's hard to be an Irish, like an Irish homer right now. But I'm going Notre Dame -7.5 at home against NC State.
Ooh,
you know, we don't like that pick.
We don't like that pick as much.
This is a Wolfpack podcast.
We are pro Wolfpack on this podcast. All right, well, we got four winners at least. This is good though for the podcast. You can bet one way.
Notre Dame 6-1 the spread.
That's fair. That's fair. I can't blame you for picking them on that one. But we'll be rooting for the Wolfpack for sure.
We'll just get that money.
Again, just make that cash. Hedging your bets, okay? Hedge your emotions. I like that strategy. Even when you lose, you come out a big winner.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, exactly. We just got, hey, goal of the week is just to get some profit, and that's what we're going to do. Sometimes you got to go out on a limb.
Hey, there you go. Hey, I think this is sound investment advice. We actually have a sponsor for this one. This is this one's been sponsored by Moody Standard & Poor's bond ratings, and this has been rated a AAA bond. Buy, 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 buy. What do you think about that, Clay?
Buy the five pack. We're bringing in the cash, baby.
Woo!
Let's go.
All right, that's another phenomenal pick. You want to recap your picks for the fans out there, Clay?
All right, we're starting at Kansas State -23.5 at KU. Another ass whooping coming towards the Jayhawks.
Heard that.
We got A&M +2 at home against Mississippi State. We got West Virginia Mountaineers +7.5 at home against Oklahoma State. Might even see a W by the Mountaineers. We got Penn State +6.5 on the road at Ohio State. That's going to be a great game, baby. That might be for the Big Ten championship right there. And
yeah,
Notre Dame -7 at home against NC State. Notre Dame's hot. I'm riding them.
Hey, it's never bad to bet with the hot team. Love that. All right. Well, that's another resounding Ramblin' Gamblin' Clay's picks. If you like money, if you like winning money, bet with these picks. All right.
Better.
Let's go get that money, baby.
Woo! Oh. And that's a wrap. Have some beers for us. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia.